In our culture, there are so many songs, poems, and love scenes where one person looks longingly into the other's eyes and they say those three magic words, "You complete me." And inside we go, "Oh, isn't that lovely?" And our hearts just warm. It sounds so romantic. When I counsel couples into before they get married, we talk about this whole thing of "you complete me." And you know, in the marriage vows, we are in our ceremony, we talk about this holy thing, right, where one person and one person comes together and makes one. Now, if we're thinking that this person is going to complete us, that means we're coming forward thinking that we are incomplete, right? That maybe we're only half of a person. Well, if I have half of a person coming forward and standing in front of me to get married, and a half of a person standing in front of me getting, that's just, they make one, right? That's just simple math. The unexplainable, beautiful thing is when one whole individual and another whole individual comes together to make one. That's the gift. Otherwise, it's just simple math. So what is a whole number? Whole numbers, they're positive numbers. It does include zero. There's no decimal. There's no fractions. They are numbers that represents things with no other pieces. The number one. Or in the case of relationships, we would say being single. Being single is a whole number. We are whole people. We are not broken. We are not half of something just waiting for something else or someone else to come and complete us. Did you know that for the first time since the Bureau of Labor and Statistics began tracking numbers in 1976, that there are now more single Americans than people who are married? By September 2014, approximately 50.2%, or 124.6, we're not talking whole numbers here, of American adults are single. Being single, it means either that we are widowed, we are divorced, or we've never been married. For the first time in our society, singles, we are no longer a minority. Can I get a hallelujah amen, right? Now, before you groan inwardly or outwardly, we singles hear the comments, we feel the pressure, and we are very much aware of the stigma of not being married. And if you're married with and no kids, that's even further stigma. I recognize that singleness and relationships, these are kind of tricky topics for some people. But I'm going to ask you, whether you're single or you're married, to stay with me this morning. And I believe that as we stay together, we're all going to come out better for it after the message. There are a number of single adults in the Bible who demonstrate that the single life is both a viable option and one that affords people the opportunity to live uniquely for the Lord. Paul, he was single, and he said that some of us have the gift of singleness. He described the value of living contentedly where God placed him, whether or not he had been gifted with singleness or marriage. Anna, poor dear Anna, she was left at the altar with seemingly little to contribute to society. The widow Anna, she was willing to rest in the Lord as she actively served him in the temple and marked her life with praise. Martha, 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 Martha. She loved to live in the fast lane. She illustrates that single adults and married folks, right? We can easily allow the busyness of life to distract us from our worship of the Lord. Jeremiah, he was all alone in a couple's world. He was able to serve productively and faced loneliness because he recognized that the Lord had called him. He trusted in God's control. He possessed God's perspective. He prayed continually, and Jeremiah benefited from allowing others to help him in his journey. Ruth. Ruth encountered shattered dreams. In the midst of life's hurts, Ruth's life was marked by an expression of sacrificial love, a faithful adherence to the commitment and the hope rooted deep in her faith. Joseph, he was purity in the midst of temptation. He understood the various traits of temptation, certainly as his brothers wreaked havoc in his life, and as he then had the opportunity when his brothers were groveling before him, he knew who they were, and he could have, sent him back to go and starve, but no, he didn't. He recognized the destruction of sin, and he grew in his affection for the Lord as he gave back to his family. Nehemiah, talk about adversity. He remained faithful to the Lord when he is circling, right, and praying 7 times. He's circling, instead of going to war and all the people. Can you imagine? What a leader. What a faithful man of God to stay convicted as a single person and to stay there and say, come on, we're going to march around this facility and we're going to pray 7 times. And I know people are going to look at us like we're crazy, but I'm telling you, we're going to do this and God will provide. John the Baptist, always a groomsman, never a groom. John exhibited a motivation to follow Christ as John abandoned the world, no matter what his personal sacrifice. And there are still others who were single in the Bible. Miriam, the sister of Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Mary Magdalene, Barnabas, Timothy, Lydia, and certainly, last but not least, Jesus Christ. Single brothers and sisters, we are in good company. That's a pretty impressive list. So let us not waste our singleness. The Apostle Paul, in many of his writings, makes it clear that if you are single, that God can make our situation a blessing rather than a bitter time. So singles, take courage and be strong in your position, because God has said in the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verses 5 through 6, "For your maker is your husband," or your wife, depending upon which gender you are. "The Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth he is called. For the Lord has called you like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, like the wife of a man's youth when she is cast off," says your God. Don't be ashamed of your singleness. Take courage and be upright in spirit in your position, because God is the focus of your purpose. Your attention is not divided. Instead of asking, why are you single? Shift to, for what purpose am I single? I'm going to tell you that was a hard shift for me. For years, when I was in my mid-20s to 30s, I wondered, what was wrong with me that I was single? I dated. I was even engaged once. But you know, relationships, they just didn't work out for me. And I am really and truly blessed to have good friends. I call them my kindred friends. They're my kindred family. You know, the kind of people that can say stuff to you and you still love them, the really hard stuff of life. And yet if somebody else tried to say it to you, you'd want to smack them. Do you have those kind of people in you? I'm telling you, we all need them, right? Well, they said one day, "Nancy, what if it isn't in God's plan for you to marry right now or ever? What does that mean for your relationship with God?" Now, they weren't saying, hey, it's God's plan for you to be single, just grasp it, let's move on. They were saying, but what if it is God's plan? Do you still love God? Will you follow God? That was hard to work through. I grew up, you know, Disney. I grew up watching Cinderella get the prince, and that's what I wanted, right? That's what we gear kids for. But I'm going to tell you, the time after my fiancé left me were some of the darkest days of my life. All of the plans that we made, all of the dreams that I thought we shared, the life that I thought God had brought to me was gone. And I struggled with who am I? I struggled with that feeling of, am I a complete person? But thank goodness, in the midst of that horrible journey of grief, God gave me my kindred friends who reminded me that, single or married, I am God's beloved child. I am blessed that right now a friend, she just shared with me that she prays for me like this: God, if it will enhance Nancy's ministry, then bring the man into her life that will do that. I love that prayer. It's not, you know, oh God, bring a man to Nancy because she needs one kind of prayer, right? It's, if it will enhance her ministry. That's awesome. From my personal experience, we singles, we kind of have three mindsets. We are zealous in our singleness because it allows us to do what we want when we want, right? It's all where it's all about us. We are mindless in our singleness. It just is what it is. Or we are hyper-vigilant, looking everywhere. Who is the man that God is bringing me? Are you single? Hey, maybe it's him, you know? Now, I'm going to tell you, I've lived, and God bless my family and my friends, they have lived through all three of those stages with me, right? God's rule, God's power doesn't stop when it comes to our relational lives. God isn't hoping that we will overcome our personality quirks and we're going to meet Prince or Princess Charming. God doesn't make chick flicks. God makes worshipers. Our joy and our purpose in singleness, it comes from understanding that as an individual, we are a whole number. In the letter of Galatians, Paul writes in chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, I died to the law through the law, so that I could live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in my body, I live by faith. Indeed, by the faithfulness of God's Son, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I that lives. It is Christ who lives in me. Whether we are married or single, when we begin living like we are whole numbers as individuals, Christ becomes the object of our worship, and relationships become more fulfilling because we don't need the other person for identity and satisfaction. We recognize that we are a whole, complete individual. The notion of having someone else to complete us is gone because we embrace that Christ lives in us. Therefore, we are already complete. We are already whole because our joy, our satisfaction, and our identity, it is tied up in Christ, not another human being. We are free to relate like whole beings because there are no relational voids. Jeremiah, Ruth, Naomi, Paul, and Jesus, they weren't married, and I'm thinking they did some pretty good stuff. I'm thinking they were pretty okay in the eyes of God. Sometimes, Paul says, I wish everyone were single like me. A simpler life in so many ways. Be careful if you amen there. But celibacy is not for everyone any more than marriage is. Now, singles, if you are single, you are called to celibacy. That means no sexual relations unless or until you are married. When I work with kids and they talk about dating and their eyes all light up, and I always tell them, okay, but what's my rule? We know Four on the floor. That's exactly right. 4 feet on the floor at all times. It will get you into less trouble, you will be less tempted, and your life will be good, right? So singles, if you're called to singleness, or if you're feeling like you are, remember that means a life of celibacy. Paul goes on to say that God gives the gift of the single life to some and the gift of the married life to others. Singles, listen carefully. If we make too much or too little of our singleness, it becomes harder to make much of Christ. And I would say, married people, if you make too much or too little of your being married, it's hard to live your life for Christ. As much as you love your partner, your love for God and for Christ still needs to be your number one priority. If we are mindless in any portion of our lives, it is more difficult to live for Christ. Paul says, I want you to live as free of complications as possible. When you are unmarried, you are free to concentrate on simply pleasing the Master, on simply pleasing God. Marriage involves you in all of the nuts and bolts of domestic life and in wanting to please your spouse, leading to so many more demands on your attention. The time and energy that married people spend on caring for and nurturing each other, the unmarried can spend in becoming whole and holy instruments of God. I'm trying to be helpful and make it as easy as possible for you, not make things harder. All I want is for you to be able to develop a way of life in which you can spend plenty of time together with the Master without a lot of distractions. Now, as a single person, I'm not going to stand here and say that, woo, single life is all roses. Lord, you married people are missing out. I am not here to say that at all, because it surely is not. It is challenging and it is exhausting to be the only one solely in charge of all of your personal decisions, all of the household decisions, all of the vehicle decisions, all of life decisions. There's rarely a week that goes by that I wouldn't love to have someone gather up my trash and take it down to the end of the driveway, right? There's not a time when the vehicle starts to make a funky noise or it's not working right that I don't wish, oh Lord, I wish I had someone that could just deal with that for me, right? I hate dealing with vehicle problems, always have. As a clergy, as a single clergywoman in the itinerant system, meaning we go where the bishop sends us, it's difficult to move all by yourself. I don't have a support system other than my four-legged fur babies who goes along with me. And for some reason, churches really don't like for them to sit in the front row. You know, they're not really keen on that. And so when I move as a single person and I look out at a congregation for the very first time, I don't have anybody looking back at me that just loves me warts and all because they've just known me, right? That's a difficult thing as a single person. But I also can't deny that singleness has great benefits. If I want to paint a room in my house lime green and pink polka dots, I can do it, right? And if I look at that and go, man, I don't know what I was thinking yesterday. That is nasty. I can turn around the next day and paint it beige if I want to. If I want to move the furniture around every day of the week, I can. Or if I want to leave it the way it is for a year, I can. And nobody says, oh my gosh, do we have to have this chair here? It's so in the wrong spot. It drives me crazy. If I feel that God is calling me to pick up and go to Guatemala for a week, I can go. If God says, Nancy, it's time to go to South Africa, I can go. My singleness, it isn't a curse. My time as a single adult, though, should not be filled with trivial things. So singles, let's stop sitting. Let's stop wasting our time and start using our singleness to the glory of God and the expansion of God's church. We can do great things for God. We can spend more of our personal time studying God's word. And by getting God's word deeper into our hearts and our minds, we can live out more fully for the work of God, for making disciples, for the transformation of the world. Well, here are some steps of faith for you this week. Singles, I want to challenge you to use your time wisely for God. If you don't know your purpose, take a shape class. Chad teaches it here, and discover your gifts. Use those gifts then to expand the kingdom of God. Whether you are single for a season or for an entire lifetime, you are a whole number in Christ. Embrace who you are and whose you are, and spend quality time with God. Read, study, and pray. Amen.